Hello.
Hello, hi Anthony, how are you doing?
Very well, yourself?
Good, yes, not too bad. Obviously, lockdown's changed a lot of things, hasn't it? But yeah, no, but thank you very much for joining me today, and thank you for you the first guest on my obviously my brand new podcast, which is Business and Stuff. So thank you very much for that. So you if we jump straight into it, you are the founder of a company called Future Space Technologies. Tell me a little bit about yourself and about the company, what you do, and yeah, give us a bit of an introduction to yourself.
So thanks for inviting me on the show. And being the first guest, hopefully I'm able to lead by example.
Definitely.
So who am I? Definitely an entrepreneur, true and true. I love all things about business and bringing your ideas more or less to fruition, and all the exciting hurdles it takes to get something out there into the world and get the buy-in from the masses. Is something that really drives me, which led to my venture, which you mentioned, called Future Space Technologies, which is more or less a app company, and we're experts in helping businesses develop their app ideas, release them into the app space, and more importantly, connect with the Gen Z slash millennial audience, which I feel is more of the quintessential audience that most businesses are aiming to connect with successfully. And that's
Definitely.
what we do at Future Space Technologies.
Fantastic. And for anybody who's listening that doesn't know who sort of Generation Z is, who millennials sort of are, what sort of age bracket are they? Who are they? And how do you sort of engage with them? How are they sort of different to the normal sort of consumer, if you like?
Indeed. So they are young people in general for the nomads. But they usually age between 13 to 30 year olds. So they are online all the time. They more or less live their lives, meeting people, building relationships, buying goods and services all online. So that's what I would deem the Gen Z slash millennial audience.
Fantastic. And yeah, you say they're online a lot. So, I mean, how would you say that the sort of the young people of today sort of differ to perhaps past generations? And do you think it's technology that's really done that?
So with the new Gen Z millennial audience, they more or less grew up with the internet. So they're learning how they conversate, what they do is more or less online the majority of the time. And the difference is that there isn't that big learning gap. They're early adapters to anything new that comes online. They're engaged very quickly, and their learning space is very short. So they more or less have the principles of what it is to work in application is the same sort of methods and patterns. And also they're able to absorb a lot quicker than the generations before with regards to technology. So they're what I call early adopters of all things social, internet speak. They're more or less immersed in it. Whereas with the generations before, there's a big learning gap. And because their minds as well has been set, there's also a big hurdle into wanting to change and be better.
Okay, fantastic. And so what sort of, I mean, if you can, I mean, some of the things you're perhaps working on might be confidential, but I mean, what sort of apps are you doing? I mean, what sort of technologies is it? Is it social media? Is it sort of apps like, your sort of Uber, your Just Eat, all the sort of apps that let you do things? I mean, what sort of area are you sort of focused on, or do you sort of focus on all different areas? Is it sort of social media led?
We're focused on consumer-based apps, so apps where there's an immersive experience for the brand or the product, where there's a lot of customization, and then we work very closely with the fast marketing consumer goods sector. So that's usually the sports brands, the entertainment brands, or the fast food brands as well. So that's where our expertise is. And in terms of technologies, we're working very closely now as we speak with the blockchain space. Yes, you might have heard of that particular platform with the currencies. and the new digital currencies is happening, but also is a bigger platform around that, around security. So e-payments is now part of our day-to-day lives, but how do we secure that moving forward? So there's some great projects we're working at here at Future Space Technologies, where we're able to now look at that whole space and how we can use that in our building of our apps.
Fantastic. That sounds great. Yeah, I must admit, I'm a Bitcoiner. I love a bit of cryptocurrency, you know, Ethereum and other ones as well. You know, I think that digital currency is the future. Yeah. You know, I believe that even though it's been going for a while, I feel that, you know, I'm still quite an early adopter to, you know, to cryptocurrency. And I know things are changing, you know, with the big institutions and with a lot of the big banks and investment companies. Do you think that it's in the peripheral vision of the young people today? I mean, in terms of how young people spend money and everything like that. I mean, yeah. just with what I do, you know, with Bitcoin, I've got a bit of an investment in there and some cryptocurrency. I mean, I think that's my generation. So sort of I'm 35 and I see when I'm looking on YouTube videos and stuff, there's lots of sort of, you know, mid-20s types that are really sort of into cryptocurrency. How do you see sort of the younger, the children of today, how do you see that being part of their new technology and how do you see them sort of adopting that new technology?
Yeah, so naturally, in an excited space of the internet and digital, a lot of great things come about from that. And digital pay has been in our circulation for a while. And then with the new immersive currencies, with digital, especially blockchain, you know, you now have, you know, you mentioned Bitcoin, Ethereum, and all the great coins that are out there. What I see happening with the young people, they're already immersed with mobile. So mobile is their centered space in terms of how they use things. And then Apple were more or less the first to kind of push forth with something called Apple Pay, where you more or less can pay for almost anything, you know, either online or physically with your mobile. And that moved other traditional banks into creating cards that were, you know, e-friendly, you know, mobile friendly. And then from there, there has been new emerging currencies coming from there. I read just recently that over in the UK, they're closing a lot of a mainstream bank called Santander. So a lot of their traditional walk-in branches are now closing, which is an indication that, you know, e-payments are now going to be the thing. Or maybe they're moving into a different model where there'll be less walk-in branches. And then those particular branches, you can walk in, you can do certain things that are necessary, but not everything. Everything more or less moving online. So with the young people, more or less something they're used to already. I've noticed that with the big penetration with the apps when we release them for clients, that age group, especially between 18 and 25, they more or less search for the app first before they do anything else. So if they have a bank account, they want to see that there's an app for it first rather than the other way around. So I don't see them, you know, more or less being objective to it. I see the other groups outside of their one being the ones that push back against it. But as I said before, you know, we it is the final frontier, is the digital frontier. It's not going anywhere. So it doesn't matter about.
Yeah, that's really interesting because, I mean, basically what you're saying is that with the sort of the older generations, you know, it's something that they have to sort of learn and they become comfortable with. Whereas with, you know, with the younger generation, they sort of look to see if there's that technology before they kind of go to the bank. Whereas, you know, sort of slightly older people would do it the other way around, you know, having a banking app or anything is a benefit. Okay, fantastic. Well, so that's interesting to sort of touch on sort of how cryptocurrency and going digital is changing things. If I can, I mean, let's talk a little bit about the pandemic. Obviously, you know, I mean, it's terrible. You know, it's really sort of affected businesses, people's lives. You know, with now it's you know, a year gone of you know, the how it's affecting everything and all the lockdowns and everything. What's it doing for you in terms of the technology area? And how do you would you say sort of it's affecting your customers, and who are your customers?
I think the pandemic was or is, you know, still a very big hurdle for many businesses to adjust. So, you know, a lot of digital transformation, sorry, has been a topic of conversation, but actually acting on it has been something that they've taken time to do. So here at Futurespace Technologies, not only do we have a team here in London, we also have been working with other remote teams across the world, which hasn't slowed us down at all. So when unfortunately it was a thing where everything had to be shut down, we could still kind of more or less move along, just adjusting a few tight bolts. And what I found also is that the businesses we were speaking to with regards to having apps and making sure the technology is on point moving forward, our calls increased because what is deemed a hard sell before was now that, oh no, you know, what these guys were saying before is something that we need to be doing now. So we've got a lot of calls around helping them transfer effectively into a more effective remote working space and what sort of technologies are good to use. So our company moved not only just from operating in the app space, but also in other digital transformation, digital consultancy spaces as well, which was really good. The downside to that was them not understanding at times what it would take to put everything in place. So you had a lot of you know, other personnel within those companies that had a pushback. So, you know, they still wanted that traditional way of working, which is fantastic. You know, we all need that personal, impersonal connection and relationship. But at the same time, you know, having those old ways can also slow things down. So what they came to us for was more or less, how do we bring those two things together and meet in the middle, which was something that we were able to do. But we're thankful now that moving forward, there's also another article that was released that now remote working is now going to be something that they will discuss in law now, which I think is fantastic because it gives the opportunity not only for work to be done in the office, but it doesn't cut off other teams globally, which is something that I'm for, you know, connecting everybody at the same time. So it's a good thing.
Definitely, yeah. It's interesting. I think the pandemic, you know, as tough and as challenging as it's been with so many reasons, really, I think some of the good things that it's done is it's sort of advanced technology, it's advanced healthcare in many ways. You know, and I think, you know, people that were perhaps a little bit traditional and sort of set in their ways, not wanting to adapt to new technologies, they've had to. But I mean, unfortunately, they probably a lot of them have come to the realization that they really should have been prepared because, you know, you can't just pull something out of nowhere, and you know, things do take time to create. And it's interesting you sort of saying that, and probably a lot of people kicking themselves that they weren't sort of prepared, or they didn't, you know, sort of you know, really sort of take on the technologies, you know, sort of beforehand. Okay, fantastic. So obviously you're an entrepreneur, and you've sort of given a little bit of information about your company, but something that I tend to get asked a lot, sort of being an entrepreneur as well, is you know, what sort of advice would you give to young people? So obviously we're in a really challenging time at the moment. Lots of people have lost jobs, lots of people at university without the perhaps the view of a future, you know, and that, you know, it's a very unsure time. What would be your advice if perhaps you're starting a business, and also what would be your advice to maybe students out there?
Yeah, definitely. I think the main thing is to ensure that you are following your passion. There are some great rewards that come from being in business and being an entrepreneur, but it has to be driven by a passion. Two, there has to be a clear problem that you believe or a group of you believe you can solve? And three, what is your legacy? So those are the key three things I would advise almost anyone, not just young people. And using this interesting time we're in the pandemic, to take time to understand what is actually my skills? What could I bring to this new economy that will yield me an opportunity and possibly grow new careers? So what were traditional careers when we were at uni is now more or less either advanced or unfortunately obsolete. So the key things looking at, okay, we've discussed blockchain, we've discussed apps, we've discussed social media. In those spaces alone, there are more than one career that can be taken that are very lucrative. And even in the development space as well, the web development space, there's some great areas that could be used. What are you using with your time? And how are you using very effective platforms like LinkedIn, like social media, to connect with either future employees or future business partners? So just understanding that the time is unique. We may not have this time again to kind of build ourselves and kind of be one with who we are, and taking advantage of that, and less with worry. There's never a perfect time. The time is now. And as you start, you learn. So as you're doing, you're learning. They say failure, first attempt and learning. So whatever you're starting first off, you're just more or less learning, okay, this is how to do it properly. This is what to do. Maybe I won't do that next time. And then, you know, the world is definitely yours though.
Fantastic, a great answer. Okay, and turning to something that I'm really passionate about, and assumably you are as well, as you've given the name of your company, the future. So I am absolutely fascinated by what the future might look like, you know, what technologies we might have, you know, will we be wearing, you know, robot boots and sort of spaceman suits? What do you think, both in the sort of the near future, but also in the long distant future, what do you think the world will look like? What sort of technologies do you think it might have? And how do you think it will change people's lives? It's a bit of a question, isn't it? You know, to it throw is. Out there.
Most definitely. I definitely already see in that, you know, how effective biometrics are being used in our travel and our safety. And we're already seeing a driverless economy. So we're able to now, they're already testing in certain parts of Europe already in terms of the whole pick up and drop sector, which is, you know, we know them as cabs here. So they have driverless cars, which is an exciting space. And also the share economy. So with the share economy, you know, we're already seeing it with Airbnb and the likes, but it will be the same with vehicles, which would also reduce the carbon footprint. So that's one of the key things I'm looking at, how we can preserve our world and have clean air, as well as having really dynamic and impactful technologies. So those are the sorts of things I'm looking at. You know, mobile will still be at the front, but also be immersive. So a lot of the new homes also that we're living in and built, are being built, are also having a lot of technologies inputted in them. So you're able to set a lot of things with regards to your temperature of your home, the temperature of your drying, your towel dryers, and that sort of thing can all be done from your mobile. So I feel that the future is very bright. I'm just looking forward to what other parts of the world are also doing to join in. You know, you have immersive continents like Africa and the likes that are doing the Middle East that are doing great things as well. So I feel it to be more connected space than a disconnected space in the future.
Definitely. No, that's really interesting. Yeah. I think very much the same. I think, that is going to be the future, isn't it? Sort of, driverless cars and I think, healthcare and things are going to sort of advance a lot as well. I mean, what do you think about the fear that quite a few people have in terms of with the, with robotics being a huge area of growth and AI as well, another kind of scary topic for some people. What do you think to people who are perhaps scared of maybe AI and robotics or taking their jobs or sort of changing their lives? And some people are kind of scared of what if AI sort of takes over the world, sort of robots and artificial intelligence kind of takes over. I mean, how do you think that the technology that you can kind of see that's sort of around the work that you do, how do you see it sort of changing the future in the sense of, do you think it will change people's jobs or do you think it will just change what people do as their jobs?
Yeah, I think it's the latter from what you've said. So with anything new, there's always going to be a bit of apprehensiveness to it and a bit of fear, which shouldn't be the absolute. So with AI and VR, the key thing is that the developers, those that are building these systems, is to ensure that those teams are built ethically and there's a clear ethical way at the end goal. So it isn't just built for one type of person. You know, there's all sorts of people that are included in those teams in order to ensure that the systems are balanced and that everybody is treated fairly with those new AI systems. What's also going to be something we're going to have to adopt is, one of the things I've been described as a polymath. And that just simply means knowing more than one thing. So I feel that in the future, the goal is that a certain individual will need to be good at a few things. Known for one great thing, but it would be good at a few things so that their options are a lot more wider rather than a fixed mindset where if this doesn't no longer exist, then I don't exist, which I feel is a false way to look at things. So I think, it's more or less having a positive outlook on life. Before we used to get around on horses. Now there's vehicles and jets now. So it's just about the evolution of time. And get into the best place we can as a species.
Definitely. Yeah, it's interesting actually when I think about the future and I think kind of how scary potentially it can seem to some people. I think, if you asked our ancestors, a couple of hundred years ago to look at today, I think they'd be terrified, sort of at all the different things that we do. The thought of having a mobile phone on your wristwatch that, these days, and
There you go.
it's amazing, being able to talk to people across the world and everything like that. Okay, so talking more about sort of apps, because obviously you kind of develop apps and stuff. You've got things like Uber, for both sort of, getting a taxi. You've also got things like Uber Eats that kind of gets you food, and you've got all these different interesting apps. But if you're sort of a budding sort of app designer or you're a budding entrepreneur with sort of ideas and stuff, I mean, and you're a little bit worried about, what else can be done. Do you think there's still ideas to do in terms of apps, like new ideas that people haven't, come across and things like that?
Especially with the new emerging technologies, especially blockchain as a platform, sorry. VR, AI, there's a lot of great things you can do in the app space. What entrepreneurs have to remember is that you could also refine a model that exists. So sometimes, we are very much pioneer. We want to be the first person. We came up with this brilliant idea, and we've put it out there, but nobody's adopted to it. So sometimes it's playing a balance game. So there's something that works, but it can work even better if we do X, Y, and Z. So that's another great option. You mentioned Uber. So Uber more or less saw there was a gap in sharing the job, the pick and drop space, and seeing how drivers can more or less do that, and then it got transferred into what we now have with Uber Eats. And so there was an extension of that sort of instant delivery. But more or less, once people are verified, anybody can more or less, do it, I suppose they. So the barrier to enter isn't as high as it used to be. So there's a lot of other sectors like that that can be refined and be done more efficiently via mobile app, and be the next, big thing. So I don't see it slowing down. It's quite a vast space, and there are a lot of apps, but a good one will always have an audience. A good app will always have an audience. So don't be too deterred that, wow, there's millions of apps there. I have no chance. No way. Once it's good and it serves its purpose and you solve that one problem, you always have a big audience.
Definitely. That's really good advice. That's really good advice. Sometimes there's there's not, there might be new things to do, but also you can perfect on what's already done.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, fantastic. So in fact, I've just written a book. It's coming out next week. But talking about books,
Yes.
in terms of business books, do you have, is there
Yes.
any sort of favorites that you've got, any that have inspired you, any that you would suggest to people to read, maybe?
Oh yeah, definitely. So one book that definitely inspires me is the My Pursuit of Excellence by the leader Bin Al-Sharim from, so he's the guy that visioned what we now know as Dubai.
Oh wow, I've not read that.
So the ruler of Dubai wrote a book, My Pursuit of Excellence. I haven't got his right pronunciation of his name, but it shows where Dubai was from like 92, 93, which was more or less sand and water, to what we enjoy today. And within a short space of time, they made it one of the, great destinations for play and luxury in the world in just in our lifetime. So it's a book that, I hold very, I go back to many times. And look at how you can not only put forth a vision, sorry, not only go for excellence, but also have the buy-in from those who you want to join you, I think is a big thing. So it's a book I would definitely recommend, and I'll share the exact title with you, following this interview. So it's one for me, and then you have the traditional ones that really unlocked my mind. Rich Dad Poor Dad, really opened my mind to what's happening, in terms of how to look at a prosperous mind to a fixed mind. And then ongoing, another one called Think Like a Champion by the very colorful individual, Donald Trump.
Yes, wow.
Before he started, I read it before he started his political pursuits, but it's still a very good book. He's known in the business world, and just to have that mindset that, nothing's a loss, everything's a lesson. And to pursue everything and believe that you're a champion, so those are three books for me that really stick in my library and something I reference every now and again.
Excellent. And okay, so talking about role models and people that perhaps you look up to, who would you say for you? I mean, if you could have dinner with two people, let's say, who would those people, who would those people be? Alive today or no longer with us? Who would those people be, do you think?
I think definitely one would be the ruler of Dubai. I think that's one I would definitely like to have dinner with. And number two, the person is late now, but the great Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yes,
You
yeah.
know, he's one definitely I would like to tap in to his mind. He died very young. He was still, I think, in his 30s when he died, but he will more or less, shook the world and raise a generation or nation, I'd say, to fight for civil justice, for all types of people. So those are the two I would love to have dinner with.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that Martin Luther King. I mean, words are an incredibly powerful thing. And actually, leading from that, do you have a favorite quote? I mean, it's difficult to kind of pick them off your brain because sometimes they're exact. But do you have any sort of favorite quotes? I know he has many amazing quotes, actually.
Yes.
And yeah, you could, I mean, I'm sure there's books written actually with all the quotes that he has, but is there any sort of quotes that sort of stand out for you and that perhaps you live your life by maybe?
Yeah, I think one that sticks with me, he says that a true test of a person is not in their good times, but is when things get rough. So that's one of Dr. King's quotes. I've abbreviated it, but it's on those lines. You know, it's definitely something that is so true.
Yeah, I mean, certainly now as well, isn't it? You know, with, in this time that we live in. Excellent. And yeah, so I'll end with something that I find quite fascinating again also is sort of daily routines. Are you one of these people that sort of have a daily routine or do you sort of have your day different every day or do you like, you know, getting up at a certain time and sort of having the different things you do? What do you sort of believe in terms of your daily routine? Because a lot of people think that with a lot of entrepreneurs and billionaires out there that, you know, it is their routine that helps them.
Oh, yeah. I think routine is very good and it's in line with discipline. So for myself, you know, I try and have everything and myself ready by like 7:30, 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then I have some quiet time before I kind of launch into emails and LinkedIn and business calls. So between that 8 a.m. and 8:30, which usually is where most businesses are already online and pushing forth, for me personally, that half an hour is time for me to kind of regroup and just be one with self and just hear my thoughts and order where the day would go. Mm-hmm. I always make sure that there's time to kind of switch off, even in the middle of the day. So between 12 noon and 1, I always try and have that time for fresh air, you know, to ensure that my water intake is in line with 2 liters a day. So I'm online with that. And I've got some time to mark my 10,000 step goal.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah. So just to make sure that my cardiovascular is pumping properly. And then throughout the afternoon, just dealing with the most important tasks and not everything. So I don't, you know, take my time to deal with everything, just what's important and most effective for business. And then coming into that later afternoon, which is from 4:30 to 6, you know, I'm more or less winding down. I'm not switching off totally, you know, as our business works on different times over some of our partners, but just winding down and looking, having a reflection, what worked well and what didn't go well in the day and how I can improve on that, you know, the following day and move forward that way. So that's more or less my routine moving forward, although it does vary here and there.
Brilliant. Excellent. Great to hear. Fantastic. And so finally, if any potential clients want to reach out to you, any, you know, any kind of followers potentially want to follow you online or your social media platforms, where can they reach out to you, both, you know, customers, but then also people that want to follow you? Where can they find you?
Yeah. So they can email us at info@futurespacetechnologies.com. And a member of our team will definitely get back to you. On all social platforms, you just type in Future Space Technologies. You will find us and you can follow our journey through there. And then if you want to hit me directly, LinkedIn is more or less the best place. Just type in Anthony Adogu and then you'll see my handsome face. And then you can just send me a direct message from there and then you're able to now build a relationship from there. But we're ready to go.
Fantastic. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your time today. And thank you very much for being the very first guest on this podcast. And, you know, for anybody that's listening, of course, you know, there's going to be podcasts each week, similar to this, asking lots of different questions that slightly different, like the technology of the future and talking about cryptocurrency and business, but also lifestyle and everything like that. Well, Anthony, thank you so much. You've been a brilliant first guest and it's been really interesting to find out more about you, more about your business and what you think the future holds. So thank you very much. And yeah, I look forward to keeping in touch and you know, kind of getting this link to you as well, so you can see it back and share it with everybody. And for everybody listening, thank you very much. Have you any last words, Anthony, that you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, just thank you for inviting me and being the first esteemed guest in your show. And just look forward to all the great businesses that will be launched on the back of your podcast. You know, I'm keen to hear what's new and what people are doing in the business world, and look forward to the future.
Fantastic. Well, thank